Praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have nothing ahead of you but heartache, misery, suffering, pain. You don't have any hope. I like the way Brother TJ has done that with that song. Apart from the blood of Christ, you don't have anything. And praise the Lord for His goodness. Well, let's just preach about that for a while. Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. Good to be saved. Good to be in church on a Wednesday night. Good to know the Lord. Good to have our sins forgiven. Good to be redeemed. Good to be washed in the blood. Amen. I hadn't got over it yet. Hope I never do. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. I'm actually going to preach primarily from verses 13 and 14. The Bible says in verse number 9, Colossians chapter 1, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and the all-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Verse number 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Bible and for the opportunity to be in church this afternoon. We have thoroughly enjoyed the good congregational singing. What a blessing to our heart. The good songs of Zion. What a blessing it is to have a church that sings out and enjoys singing to the Lord about the goodness of God. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to pray together. It's always a blessing to get together with God's people, make our prayer requests known one to another, and pray for each other's burdens and needs. We thank You for that. Now, Lord, we've come to the preaching part of the service, and I certainly realize and understand that I am certainly not a preacher. I certainly need the help of God to preach through us Your word. And I pray that You would do that, Lord, with power. I pray that Your word would speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls who are present this afternoon. And we'll thank You for that and praise You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We are preaching through the book of Colossians, and so when that happens, we, wherever we are at that given time, that is what we preach. A Wednesday night message would probably not primarily be a message that would be directed towards salvation, but I didn't orchestrate that or choose it, amen. We're preaching through the Bible. This is the verses that we are at. This is where we have made it to. This is where we are beginning. And so I want to preach tonight concerning just a great salvation that we have. I'm going to mention four things. A spoiler alert. He has delivered us. He has translated us. He has redeemed us. And He has forgiven us of our sin. Amen. And so four things we see in these two verses, verses 13 and 14, that we want to share with you tonight. Now, man's greatest need is a Savior, and the reason for that is because man's greatest problem is sin. And so I'm thankful that we have a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice four things that He has done for us. First of all, in verse number 13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." And so He has delivered us. Praise the Lord that we are born again. We that are born again, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been rescued from danger. We could not deliver ourselves, but I am glad that we have a deliverer. Amen. We couldn't deliver ourselves from guilt or the penalty of sin, but I'm glad that Jesus is willing to do that for every individual that will place their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the power of darkness, if you are saved, you do know the Lord as your Savior, the power of darkness should no longer have influence in our lives because we have an inheritance. Verse number 12 said, of the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, amen, and I praise the Lord for that. And so God's redeeming power has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. That's the darkness of this world, the darkness of the natural man, because we are sinners by nature, sinners by birth, and I am glad that we can be delivered from the power of sin. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still abiding in, you're still living in the kingdom of darkness, amen. And the reason for that is because you are under the power of Satan. Now, I know that that's not a pleasant picture, and you don't like the way that that looks, and you don't appreciate that coming from the preacher. I want to tell you something, friend, that's the Bible. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're a sinner. You're separated from God. You are an enemy of God. You are being held by the power of darkness. And Satan, my friend, is the one who operates that world of darkness. And you are under that influence of Satan. I'm glad that Jesus can deliver you from that situation. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that He is a delivering God. Now listen, those who continue to live as an unbeliever, they are the children of disobedience and wrath. Come to hold your place here. We're going to look at some places in the Bible and come to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse number 18. I may back up and read a couple of verses. I will. Look at verse number 16. Acts chapter 26, verse number 16. The Bible says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes." Now, the Lord is speaking to the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about opening their eyes, speaking to the Gentiles, to open their eyes. Now, look what it says. "And to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And so listen, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you are still in darkness, you are still under the power of Satan, but you can be delivered from that darkness and you can be delivered from that power. Now look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we know the wonderful verses, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Praise God for that great truth. But, here's the next part, "but he that believeth not is condemned already." And the reason you're condemned is not because of this sin or that sin or the other thing or this habit or this problem or that problem. No, the reason that you are condemned, the Bible tells us, is because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice how this goes along with our text in the book of Colossians. And this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. Now listen, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so listen, if you're not saved, you're still in darkness. You're still under the power of Satan. You're still living in darkness. You've not yet been delivered. And the reason for that, you can make every excuse in the world that you want to, but the Bible has already told us why you're still in that condemnation, and that is because you love darkness rather than light. And the reason that you do that is because your deeds are evil. Amen. Don't you love the Bible, how it just clears things up? Look at verse 36. Skip down to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So listen, if you have not been delivered from darkness, you are already condemned. You are already under the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth upon you. Listen, I want to tell you something. Heaven is distinctly a prepared place for a prepared people. And the way that people get prepared is by being delivered and redeemed and forgiven. Amen. And I suggest to you this afternoon, if you've not been delivered, you need to be. So come back to Colossians chapter 1. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now notice the second thing. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a blessing. So He delivered us and He hath translated us. We're no longer a child of the devil. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer an enemy of God. We're no longer under condemnation. We are now the children of light because of our new birth in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible says here that he hath been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now notice the fact that the Bible says hath. If you're born again, these are past tense. If you're saved, hath delivered us. We're already delivered. Hath translated us. We're already translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so what a blessing it is. All of us who are born again, we have changed our citizenship. We are now the children of God. We are now possessors of eternal life. Our citizenship is now in heaven. We sit together right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not that it's going to be. That is a truth right now. Amen. Now, the Bible speaks here of the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, we've talked about this a great deal, so we're not going to labor this point at all. But the Bible speaks of two kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven, which we know is a literal physical kingdom on this earth. And the Bible talks about the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual kingdom. This is where the heart is made righteous. I will look at just one verse concerning this. Not going to be the thrust of our message this afternoon. But look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'll tell you this. The Lord makes no mistakes. It's no coincidence that it's a Wednesday night and the preacher is preaching on salvation and you're in church. It's not by accident. You better take heed to the preaching of God's Word. The Bible says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so we see that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. This is what we see in our text verse in verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When we were born again, when we were saved, we were translated into this kingdom. Right now, you not at some future time, if you're born again, we are already in this kingdom. Now, let's talk about this word translated for just a second. Now, and I want to say that just because of our King James Bible. There are many folks in our day who oppose the fact that we have a perfect King James Bible. And the reasoning for saying that is because they say there's no way that any translation could be as good as the original. Well, we have an answer for that. And our answer for that comes from the Bible. Now, the word translate, translated, translation, only appears in three verses in the Bible. The words appear five times in three verses in the Bible. And in all three of those instances in the Bible, the thing was better after the translation. I want to show you. Come to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I praise the Lord that our God is able to preserve His Word. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 3, what we see in this passage is that an earthly kingdom is translated from Saul to David. Look what the Bible says, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 9. So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. Verse 10, here's the word, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. Now, if you know anything about the Bible at all whatsoever, you would know that the kingdom under David is far better than Saul. Amen. Now, come to here in Colossians chapter 1, that we're reading from in our text, every believer's status is translated from Satan's domain to God's domain. And the Bible says He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into His kingdom of light. Now, come to Hebrews, and we'll look at the last time, the third and the final time, that this word is used. You would have to agree with me that being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son is far better than being under the power of darkness by Satan. Amen? You believe that? I hope you do. If you don't, you got a lot of problems. Hebrews chapter 5, look what the Bible says. Enoch was translated. The Bible says, and it's used three times in this verse of Scripture, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't you believe that Enoch is far better off being with the Lord than being here on earth? So here we have, in every one of these verses, it was better after the translation than before. I only read those to show you how that played out in Scripture. When it comes to what many have a supposed Bible issue, I say that because there really is no Bible issue at all. You either believe the Lord or you don't, amen. And so, when it comes to the supposed Bible issue, we're told that God will preserve and purify His Word. I won't turn there. You know the verse as well. In Psalm 12, the Bible says in verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So in that sense, we believe that the English King James Bible, amen, is even purer or better than the original manuscripts from which they came. Now listen, that does not in any way at all imply that the previous manuscripts were in some kind of error at all whatsoever. It means that the King James Bible is better. It is clearer. It is pure, amen. Been purified seven times. Praise God for the Bible in the King James translation. Amen. Now, come back to Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at verse 14. We looked at He has delivered us. He had translated us. Now, look at verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I wanted to sing all of those songs about the blood this afternoon because I have redemption through His blood. What a blessing. Now, He has delivered us. He has translated us. He has redeemed us. You see, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the necessary redemptive price, and He for all who have sinned, and by the way, that's all of us. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He has satisfied the demands of His Father, the holy and righteous God. Our very costly redemption has been completely paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, had God not provided redemption and He had not made it possible for salvation to be free and perfect, man would be in a miserable mess. We would be completely hopeless. There's no way that we can redeem ourselves. There's no way we can get ourselves to God. There's no way we can work our way to God. We can't please God. The Bible says all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Apart from the blood, we're just done for, amen. And so praise the Lord for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood. And so, listen, redemption is not only a great and indescribable blessing, it is a necessary, it is a divine necessity, amen. In fact, the heart and soul of the gospel message is the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to mention a couple things. We'll talk about some verses concerning the blood. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." In fact, Jesus said concerning Himself in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." And so Jesus Christ came into this world, and when He came into this world, He had His eyes set toward Calvary. He had a determination to go to Calvary and to die for our sin, and all hell could not have kept Him from going to that cross and for dying for your sin and for my sin so that we could be saved. Well, thank God for the determination of our Savior to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. I'll tell you, this redemption, what a great thing. It doesn't make any distinction concerning the supposed size of sin or the amount of sin. It knows no little sins, no big sins. I'm glad redemption is available for whosoever will. What a blessing. And so redemption shows no discrimination among transgressors at all whatsoever. It matters not who you are. It matters not what you are. It matters not where you came from. It matters not what sin you've committed or what sin you have omitted. I am glad that the Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm glad that it also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And so it is an invitation for whosoever will. Look at Matthew. Come to Matthew chapter 11 for just a moment. Everyone that comes to Jesus, He will in no wise cast out. Praise God for that great truth. Listen, that means you. You're sitting here tonight, young, middle-aged, older. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. He will in no wise cast you out. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Notice what Jesus said in these verses of Scripture. In verse number 28, I like this. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So there's many in our day, they are laboring for their salvation. They're trying with all that is within them to work their way to Christ or to please God by some religious activities or by some list of good works. And they're just laboring and laboring and laboring. Yet in spite of that, they're just heavy laden with their sin. And Jesus, I'll tell you what, if you'll just come unto me, I'll give you rest. Amen. So I'm glad that there is rest for our weary soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that He is able to take our sin burden and He's able to take our sin debt that we cannot pay. And He said, just give it to me, friend, and I'll give you rest. And then there's some things that He mentions there for us to do. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, friend, you have this idea. You're not saved. I know how Satan is. I've been in your shape before. I've been in your condition before. You can't live for Christ. You won't have any friends. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. Listen, friend, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, I didn't turn from the passage. I wish I could remember. Let me turn back there real quickly. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Look what He says. For I am For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I promise you that burden of sin and that yoke of bondage that's coming from that power of darkness and from your father Satan is much, much heavier and burdensome than walking with Christ would ever be. Amen. Now, come to John chapter 10. Listen, friend, if you close your eyes in death and you die without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you open those eyes in hell, it will be because you refused the invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to come unto Him. You won't have anyone to blame but yourself. I know you have a whole list of people you can blame. Well, this one did this, and that one did that, and this one said they were saved, and they behaved like that. When you stand before God, you'll stand there without excuse because the Lord Jesus Christ has given you ample opportunity to trust Him as your Savior. Look at John chapter 10. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Look at verse number 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Listen, friend, if you're following this world, you're following this prince of darkness and this power of darkness upon your life, you're following it right into hell. And I want to tell you what it did. It came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life." And not only that, He said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." How is things in your life right now? You can have abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5. In spite of this invitation and many other in the Bible, many will not come unto Jesus. And that's why Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verse number 40. Listen, I'm going to read it. "And you will not come to me that you might have life." You can have life. All you got to do is come to Jesus. He'll give you life. If you die lost and go to hell, you will have no one to blame but yourself. Jesus has paid the price for you to be redeemed. And not only has He paid the price for you to be redeemed, He has repeatedly, over and over, pleaded with you to come to Him for redemption. I want to tell you this. For those of us who are redeemed, I like this thought. Redemption is completed. We have forgiveness from sin, and every sin is included. All of my past sin, all of my present sin, all of my future sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ brings freedom from sin and makes us fit for the kingdom of God. The Bible declares that without holiness no man shall see God. And it's the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been made whiter than snow? Listen, friend, I'm not fit to heaven because of who I am. I'm only fit for heaven because I have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been delivered. I've been translated. I've been redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb. What a blessing. Thank God for the blood. Now, when we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're made just as holy as the blood that covers us is holy. Ain't that a blessing? We are justified by faith in the finished work of the Lamb of God, and to be justified is to be as just as Jesus is just in the eyes of God. What a blessing. Now, come back to our passage, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, this is a key verse for two important reasons. This verse shows us that our salvation is totally dependent upon Christ's blood. Now, I'm not going to turn to all these places, but I am going to read you a portion of several verses of Scripture. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, and verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," that is the atoning sacrifice, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Hebrews 9:11 says, "But Christ, being an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In Revelation 1:5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Man, I love Revelation chapter 5. Just let me turn to that one. This will be the last one. Look at Revelation chapter 5. I love reading this passage of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 5, those of us who've been delivered, those of us who've been redeemed, those of us who've been translated, we are in heaven. Amen. And look what the Bible says. I want to read verse number 9, but I want to read before them. My goodness. We'll start in verse number 6. I'll read the whole thing. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." I love this. This is the verse. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to open the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kingdom, every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Praise God for the shed blood, the redemptive blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, come back to Colossians. Second of all, this verse proves to be one of the checkpoints for a believer to spot whether or not he has a corrupt Bible. Because the majority of the corrupt Bibles, and it is very interesting that TJ mentioned that when he was looking at that song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood." Do you know what is left out of all of those new Bibles? Look at the verse 14. "In whom we have redemption," they seem to forget this phrase, "through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, if you got a corrupt Bible, just see if it left that phrase out. Amen. Now, we're not surprised, knowing the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Satan would want that left out of a book that he calls a Bible. But I'm glad we have a Bible, amen, that includes "through His blood." Man, you'd be left to wonder how we were redeemed if you took that out, amen. I'm glad we're redeemed through His blood. Now, there's some other places while we're thinking that. It's real early, amen. It's only 8:30. I know it feels like 12:30, but it's only 8:30. Come to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'll tell you this. Hell is a long time. This may be your last opportunity to hear a gospel message. This may be the last time you ever hear a preacher take a Bible and show you how you can be redeemed, how you can be delivered, how you can be translated, and you're worried about what time it is, friend, you have a lot more serious things to be concerned about. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 36. This is another one of those checkpoint verses. The Bible says this in Acts 8:36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water." And it's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch after he got saved. "And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, verse 37 is completely missing in most of the newer translations. And the reason for that is because there are a lot of religious organizations that give large sums of money to these Bible translators. And if it doesn't fit their narrative or fit their doctrine, they'll try to pay them to leave that out. You can be baptized if you know all the tadpoles by name. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you haven't placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're just a wet, lost sinner. Amen. You need Jesus. You got to be born again. And so this Ethiopian eunuch was not baptized to be saved. He was baptized because he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now come to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Two more. You probably are aware of this one. I want to show you one in Luke after this. I think is helpful. Show you how crude. Listen, if you're under that power of darkness, your father, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of it. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Look at this right here. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, most, if not all, of the new translations have completely, or at least partially, removed verse number 7. And the reason they do that is because they want to downplay or destroy the teaching of the Trinity. I want to tell you something, friend. Our God is a triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are equally one. Amen. Now, come to Luke chapter 2. I'll show you one more telltale story, verses to read to know whether the Bible is good or not. Luke chapter 2, subtle, verse 33, but destructive. Look at this little verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother, now this passage is a reference to Jesus, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, as I mentioned, this passage here, obviously a reference to Jesus. And many Bible translations have changed Joseph to father. Now, this is dangerous and destructive because it removes the deity of Christ. Now, Joseph may very well be the earthly stepfather of the Lord Jesus, but he is definitely not his father. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. And if Jesus was conceived by man, it would be impossible for him to be the sinless Son of God. So don't be messing with the Bible. It doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be reread. Amen. Come to Colossians chapter 1. Let me show you one more. Can I show you one more first? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lie to you. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Don't you love that verse? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. But you know what many translators have done? They have changed God to he who. So that corrupt Bible would read like this, something similar, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifest in the flesh. Well, he who? It was God, amen. And it's important that it was God because that is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The God-man. All right, come back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm almost finished. I want you to be considered where you're going to spend eternity. In our text verse, Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Look, I love this. Even the forgiveness of sins. So he's delivered us, he's translated us, he's redeemed us, he has forgiven us. Aren't you glad that the very moment that you place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven? It's not a process where you're forgiven a little here and you're forgiven a little there. No, I'm glad that the very moment that you're born again, you are forgiven of your sins. I understand there's many blessings that follow along as we grow and learn and dedicate our walk to the Lord Jesus Christ, but forgiveness is immediate. I'm glad that the guilt of sin and the burden of sin is lifted, and I'm glad that you can have peace when those sins are forgiven and you're pardoned. So I praise the Lord for perfect, eternal, free salvation that is only possible because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a partaker of darkness. You can be translated from that, amen. You can be redeemed. You can be forgiven. You can be delivered. And the Lord wants to do that even now, amen. And that's been made possible because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do something very unusual on Wednesday night. I'll get Keisha to come to the piano. Maybe she'd like to play or sing, whatever she'd like to do. But if you're